This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast for Thursday, April 20th. I'm Curtis Fox. Today, science, art, and the poetry of Linda Beards. Linda Beards lives on Bainbridge Island, just 30 minutes by ferry from Seattle, where she is the director of the University of Washington's Creative Writing Program. In 1998, she won a MacArthur for her intense, visually descriptive poetry, often written in the voices of historical or scientific figures.
Radiant in the Paris sun, the clustered chairs and canopies, the clustered leaves, one and one and one.
There's nothing obviously poetic about Linda Beards' imagery. She provides extremely precise descriptions of the visual world, often using scientific language. Producer Marcy Silman tries to understand where Beards gets her distinctive view of the world.
Like most poets, Linda Beards' raw materials are words and ideas. But Beards says she's as much influenced by science or current events or visual art as she is by literature. Beards keeps a notebook handy to record her visual epiphanies.
For me, I think my journals are filled, I would say, 80% of the time with the visual. Usually odd things that other people aren't going to be stopped by. You know, when we start looking at some of the poems, every one of them, I bet, was started, kick-started by some arcane image that stopped me. What a pair they will make, ice pink tube works north and south on the ballroom floor. And below, fox scarves, carnations, the pull and push of the long trombones. Flamingos. And now the moon pressing back through the tree line. Close your eyes. Let us say we are children together, 10, perhaps 12. I see neon, a steadfast landscape of depot, Heidelberg, vacancy.
Beards says a trip to the Seattle Art Museum was the catalyst behind the first poem she wrote in the voice of a historic figure.
I did a long poem on Rembrandt called The Anatomy Lesson of Dr. Nicholas Tulp, and there is a scene created, and he's painting it, and I wanted to learn the names of all of the people who were represented who actually had commissioned him to do this. But what started it was hearing a docent at Seattle Art Museum talking about what actually made the paint of the palette. And so looking at matter root, looking at all of these things.
Despite Beard's affinity for the visual, much of her poetry is steeped in science and in scientific discovery. To ensure accuracy, Linda Beards does extensive research, but she says that's not where she finds her artistic inspiration.
I rarely find the poem reading science. It's the opposite, that I'll feel the friction of something that may reach beyond just the scientific fact, if we want to call it metaphor, or if it's just something that's going to evoke more than the fact, then I will perhaps go and research to find the vocabulary I need to bring this off, but not the other way around. Errand. Old now, the nimble thumb technology that brought her here, this common Dorset lamb relaxed in her shallow stall, buff-fleeced, wall-eyed, her scissored horizontal bite idly working the grain. I think, backing up, that I'm a wonder-driven poet, and whether it's that paint is made from things of the earth, it's that moment when wonder sets you going. But as I've gotten older, that wonder isn't always positive. There are all kinds of degrees. And so when I read that they'd cloned Dolly, I couldn't believe it. I was dumbstruck. I thought, how in the world could this happen? And kind of like the kid of me said, well, I want to go see her. But the other part of me thought, where are we going with this technology? Far down this compound's spackled halls, a lab-coated worker peers over the rim of a cell's smooth globe, then parts with a finger of light its long chromosomic grasses. Old now, reflection's self-same lure. And old the century that would have found him on his knees parting the earth for resemblances. Bloodroot and mandrake, heart leaf, the liver-lobed hepatica, each with its dusty errand to close from death the body it mirrored.
This intellectual curiosity is what energizes Beards. Despite critical acclaim and the respect of her peers, Linda Beards recognizes that her work is never going to be as widely accessible as that of, say, former poet laureate Billy Collins.
Billy Collins is a dear friend. You know, he came to Bainbridge to read, and you couldn't, you know, the high school was full. And who can blame someone? They're wonderful. You want to be there. You want to hear that. And this, I know when I'm doing my writing that that is not what's going to happen. And that's not my desire either. That this, I'm just so happy to do it and to have a publisher and to have, you know, those people who are moved by it.
Marcy Silman produced that piece on Linda Beards. At poetryfoundation.org, you can find a reading guide to Linda Beards' poetry, plus a handful of her poems, plus poetry news and features and more audio. Tomorrow on the poetryfoundation.org podcast, W.S. Di Piero on Robert Browning's great monologue, Fra Lippo Lippi, with a reading of the poem by Paul Giamatti.
Who am I? Why, one, sir, who is lodging with a friend three streets off. He's a certain... how do you call? Cosimo of the Medici?
Let us know what you think of this program. You can email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this podcast comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the poetryfoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.